right, welcome to Return on Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Jeffcoat from Seller Accountants, and I appreciate you guys giving me a little bit of a break. We finished season one of ROP a couple months ago, and I was ready to dive back into our normal rhythm of interviewing the top CEOs in the e-commerce space. I want to understand the habits, the hacks, the practices of these highly successful e-commerce CEOs. But before I dive back into that longer form content, I realized I can't do that yet. And it's because there's a topic that is incredibly hot right now for our clients here at Seller Accountant, right? Day job, Seller Accountant. Our clients are struggling, and they're struggling with cash flow. And so what I'm going to do here is I want to take another pause, another break in the kind of normal Return on Podcast. And I want to give you guys what'll probably be a 5 or 6 part mini series on the topic cash is king. Give you a quote from a good friend of mine. I was talking the other day to my buddy John. He's been an Amazon seller for 20 years, 8-figure guy, big, nice company, great products. And his comment about how the market has changed was this: the consequences, Tyler, of running out of cash are bigger than running out of inventory. And if you guys think about that, I don't know how that comment resonates with you, but I would say the last 3 years for the e-commerce industry has been so fast paced, so high growth, that what John said would have been laughed off the stage, right? He doesn't get to come and say cash is more important than stock out opportunity. And the reason is it was so darn easy to raise cash that we didn't really need to worry about it. But now, because of the market shifts, we got a problem, right? And so let's think about what's happened. By the way, just to kind of run you through what the series will be about, in today's kind of episode, we're going to walk through the basics of a cash flow statement, you know, that financial statement that you've never looked at, the statement of cash flows. I want to walk you through the basics of it. But then we'll kind of dive into the meat, and the meat will be, next week's episode will be related to how to actually do a monthly cash flow forecast. Then we'll talk about how to do a short-term weekly cash flow forecast. And then we're going to be able to dive into some strategic questions. You know, two of the most important questions that pop up for me as a CFO are: how much money can I afford to pay myself as the owner in the coming year? And then the second question, which is kind of related to the first, is how much can I afford to grow my business? How much can we grow without having to bring on more funding, without having to take on another loan? And again, we maybe didn't care about the answer to that question 2 years ago during the heat of the pandemic. Interest rates were at all-time lows. It was really easy to get cash. But because interest rates have tripled over the last 7 months as of the, you know, Thursday morning that I'm recording this episode, and because there are some additional headwinds in the market, we now have to think about and prioritize our cash, even sometimes over the opportunity cost of stocking out. So that's what I want to do. If we have time for a final episode, maybe towards the end of the series, I may walk you through some kind of a tactical workshop on what you can do to take action and improve your cash flow. But let's just start where we are today. So let's take a quick look at the market, and then I want to dive into your statement of cash flows. Then we'll come back and get into actual budgeting and forecasting in the coming weeks. So why are we having this discussion here kind of at the, you know, end of the first quarter of 2023? Here's why. The years 2020 and 2021 were historic for e-commerce, not just because we grew as an industry. I mean, e-commerce has been growing, you know, pretty predictably 15 to 20% year over year for as long as I can remember. The difference when the pandemic hit was that instead of growing 15%, e-commerce grew 50%, you know, in literally 2 quarters. And so you couple that with just the nature of being in a worldwide pandemic, and we destroyed our supply chains. We did. We had a lot of free money from the feds. We had lots of demand for our products on the marketplaces, and we absolutely annihilated our supply chains by overwhelming our suppliers. They couldn't get things through the ports. Our lead times went way up, right? And so fast forward to the end of 2021. So it's crazy. Now sitting here in 2023, that seems like forever ago, but that's where the mess started, was at the end of 2021. We, the guys like me in the world that are kind of accountant CFO boys, and you as the CEO of your own, you know, $1 million or $10 million Amazon business, we thought to ourselves, ugh, lead times are long, cash is cheap. this Q4 is going to be big. I need to overbuy. I need to buy a lot of inventory, and I need to buy it ahead of schedule to make sure it gets in. Right? We all did it. That literally that August, September, October of 2021, everybody that I've met in the e-commerce space bought a ton of inventory. Well, the problem is that demand softened a little bit in Q4, that Christmas season 2021 wasn't quite as rosy as the year prior had been. And lead times weren't quite as bad as we thought they were going to be. And then we get into last year, into 2022, and we had a couple of important headwinds. One is that demand continued to be a little bit soft as we felt the recessionary pressures happening in our world. And then interest rates here in the States in particular tripled. That's right, they tripled in like about a 6-month span, where now borrowing money wasn't as cheap as it used to be. So we went from boom, boom, boom to, oh no, I've got an extra 3 months worth of my product in my warehouse, which means not in my bank account. I had to give that money to my supplier already. And it's put us in a real pickle where I have a lot of our clients right now who have great products and are very good at selling those products, but they are in panic mode, trying to make sure they have enough cash flow to get through what is a very difficult time. Some of them are having to lay off staff. Some of them are really scared, right? I mean, I get it. I get where they're coming from. And so again, that's the spirit of this series. Cash is king. It needs to have our attention. I have to be honest with you in saying that this didn't have enough of my attention. Like, I don't know if you were like this, but over these last 8 or 9 years, as the market has been bull, 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 cash has been cheap, cheap, cheap. We have been so focused on growth and exits that we really have underappreciated the value of a simple cash flow forecast. I just want to plead guilty, right? I'm the CEO of an accounting firm that does CFO services for Amazon and e-commerce sellers. And I was one of the guys that was like, cash flow, yes, you're positive, we're good, let's keep moving on. And you better believe that it now has our absolute attention here. In fact, we've reorganized our entire CFO practice completely around solving for cash flow so that we can make sure that our clients have the cash they need. So, all right, let's talk about today's topic a little bit, and then we'll let this first intro video go. I want to walk you through a simple statement of cash flows. Remember that? Remember how there are three financial statements? If you took like an intro to accounting class a million years ago, there's your profit and loss statement. That's the first one. That's the one everyone's heard of. That's the P&L. Then there's the balance sheet that kind of has a list of everything that you own, cash, inventory, et cetera, and everything you owe, loans, credit card debt, accounts payable, that kind of thing, right? That's your balance sheet. Now, I would say more than 50% of all e-commerce brands have never looked at their balance sheet. So if you've actually looked at your balance sheet before, congratulations, you're in the top half of all sellers I've ever met. But now let's be honest about this third statement, the statement of cash flows. I can almost guarantee you that 95% of e-commerce brand owners out there have never even once even thought about looking at a statement of cash flows. And so if that's you, know that you're in good company. You know, it needs to be emphasized more. And so I'm going to show you how to do it. If you happen to be watching this on YouTube, you'll see where I'm showing you a very simple example. If you're listening to this in the podcast format, thank you, by the way, for listening. I'll keep it pretty simple like I normally try to do, but this is just going to be a walkthrough. So if you look at a year's worth of a statement of cash flows, it's going to start. Well, first of all, let me back up a second. Here's the question that a statement of cash flows is trying to answer. At the beginning of the year, we had a balance in our checking account. Let's say we had $30,000 as our checking account balance at the beginning of the year. And at the end of the year, we had a checking account balance of $120,000. Pretty good year. Checking account went up. Mom is happy, right? But a statement of cash flows is the statement that tells the story of how your beginning cash flow got to the ending cash flow. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, yeah, you just made money. It was a profit. But the problem is that your net profit isn't the only thing in your accounting that affects cash, right? Like for instance, if you buy inventory and your inventory balance increases, you might have actually made a profit, but then that money's gone, man. I paid it to my supplier to buy the next container. And so getting more inventory harms your cash flow. Likewise, if I've booked my sales that happened at the end of March for Amazon, but Amazon doesn't actually pay me the cash until the next month, until April. Again, I've made a profit and I've booked that profit in March, but it doesn't help my cash situation until the next period, until April in this example. And so a statement of cash flows starts with your net income, with that net profit for the period of time, whether it's a month or a year. Again, if you're watching this, the example on the screen is a year, and it adjusts it for some other operating activities. There are a lot of them here, but the two that I'm putting on my simple example are accounts receivable. Again, if Amazon owes me money, on the one hand, that's good news because, hey, I'm going to get paid by Amazon. But from a pure cash flow standpoint, that's bad news because it means they haven't paid me yet. I need to get paid, Amazon. It's not sitting in my checking account yet. And so what we have to do is take that accounts receivable balance away, take any increases in inventory away, and then we arrive at what our real operating cash flow was for the period of time. The example here is $100,000 in net profit, but we had an increase in accounts receivable of $10,000 and an increase in our inventory of $10,000. So we only had $80,000 of cash increase in our checking account. But that wasn't the only kind of activities we had in our business. We also got a new loan from Amazon. Great news, we got an Amazon loan. That helped our cash flow. And then we took an owner draw. We paid ourselves $15,000, and that was against, right? That's a tax from cash. That's where I transferred it from the business account into my personal account. And so we have a net total from our non-operating activities, the other kind of financing activities. And so again, in this simple example, I look at what my operation generated. I look at what my other activities generated, and it creates a net change of cash for the year. And that's how you tell the story. So again, in the example we have here, we started with $30,000 in cash. We increased to $120,000 by the end of the year. That's an increase of $90,000, by the way. And now we've been able to unpack the story of where that $90,000 increase came from. So, by the way, for those of you guys who are listening to this, I just want to apologize. Like, what an awful, like, if there was anything that was in the deep end of the nerd pool that you don't want to have to listen to, you know, having an auditory learning style, it would probably be a basic statement of cash flows. And so if that just seemed like Greek and you're like, I'm never going to listen to Return on Podcast again, please go watch the YouTube channel and, you know, come back next week. I promise we'll try to make it a little bit more practical. I just had to start with the basics of how a cash flow statement works. Final comment here, and then we'll close today's episode. If you look at your accounting system, you know, QuickBooks Online or Xero or NetSuite, whatever you're using, and your statement of cash flows doesn't make sense, it could be because your accounting is really bad. And so I just want to say this. This cash flow discussion is going to be aided substantially if you have really good books. You know, obviously self-serving here. If you need help with books, call us here at Seller Accountant. We'd love to help you. Or just have your team tighten things down so that you can see things. So with that, let me close today's kind of first episode in the Cash is King mini series for Return on Podcast. Again, we're going to have 5 or 6 sessions here where we're going to walk through how to do a cash flow forecast so that you can proactively manage your cash instead of reactively managing it. I'm going to tell you how to answer the questions, how much can I afford to pay myself? How much can I afford to grow without taking on debt? Let's get tactical, right, in terms of what we can do to improve our cash flow. And we'll kind of close the series with that. For today, I'm Tyler Jeffcoat. This is Return on Podcast. Grateful for your ears. Thank you for listening. Hang with us. We'll be back next week for the second section on how to make your forecast. Take care.